My breakdown is, I think this is a time, I think this is a time that everyone needs to stand up. If you've never been an advocate, this is the time. Because mm-hmm. within the LGBTQIA plus movement, mm-hmm. Transgender, the transgender population has sometimes been on the outside. And right now, the attack is centered on them. And so we need to stand up and speak out and make sure that these laws, so what these laws are doing, and we've talked about this in another episode, what they're doing is they're setting up an opportunity to get to the Supreme Court. And we need to make sure that that doesn't happen, because those, the things that happen there have an impact on us that can... Welcome, everyone, to episode 7 of Breaking It Down with DJ and Courtney.
We back.
We are back. And if you've been listening, you know that we start each episode with the section called What's Still Cooking, which gives DJ and me a chance to highlight things that we may have watched, read, or experienced, and that's still on our minds. So for me, What's Still Cooking is two Black women are the head coaches in the NCAA Women's Final Four tournament that happened on Friday, April 2nd. So if you're listening to this when the show airs, that would have happened just last Friday. Dawn Staley is returning with South Carolina for her third Final Four appearance, and her team won in 2017. Mm. And Adia Barnes in Arizona are making their first debut this year. It's a historic moment. Staley says that this moment is long overdue, but she is proud and happy. And both Staley and Barnes are former WNBA players. South Carolina is playing Stanford, and Arizona is playing UConn.
Okay. I like it.
So that's really awesome to see two Black female head coaches at the tournament in the Final Four.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing that is still cooking for me... happened yesterday. You know, we're recording early, so I look forward to seeing it. But there's an epic versus battle with Earth, Wind, and Fire versus the Isley Brothers. So for those who don't know, Versus came along during the pandemic when Swizz Beatz and Timbaland, who are producers, joined forces to create some entertainment.
Okay.
So they started humbly on Instagram, where two artists would go live and pretty much share their collection. And they'd go track for track, and it would just be a really great event. And recently, the platform was acquired by Triller. And so some past battles include Brandy versus Monica, Babyface versus Teddy Riley, Erykah Badu versus Jill Scott, and Patti LaBelle versus Gladys Knight.
Oh, wow, cool.
And so for this epic battle, one of the reasons that it's epic, not just because those bands are amazing, but also because Steve Harvey is going to be the host.
Yeah, he's back, huh?
Yeah, and so what's interesting is that I saw the clip from, because, you know, he has his morning radio show. I saw the clip from when they were talking about the battle on his show, and he was like, you know what, I'm just going to show up. And then I saw that they announced that he's going to host. So
Okay.
So that's pretty awesome. He spoke that into existence. So I'm excited for that.
I'm glad to see him back, though, you know. Yeah, so is anything else cooking for you?
Nope. What's cooking for you?
So what's cooking for me is I was looking and I found this article that was talking about rappers Quavo and rapper Sweetie. I think that's how you pronounce her name.
Sweetie.
Just recently broke up. And I first saw something about he wanted his car back. I guess he bought her a really nice car, a BMW or something. And he wanted that back. And I think she gave it back. Oh, wow. I don't know. But so that's the first. I said, okay, well, you know. Then I saw this video that was leaked by TMZ, which shows them in a physical altercation. You know, but it's nowhere near the Solange and Jay-Z, you know, beatdown that occurred in 2017. Yeah. But the surveillance footage supposedly happened last year. It shows them fighting outside the elevator, and then he throws her into the elevator and then to the floor, and they seem to be fighting over some orange case or something. And but I like Quavo. I like, he's part of that group, the Migos. I like that song. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite Migos song?
I don't know any of their songs by name.
Oh, well, Bad and Bougie is my favorite, and Motorsports, Bad and Bougie. And so so it seems like it had a toxic relationship, and but the reason why I even care about it is because, you know, it's spring is coming. You know, we're beyond the winter phase. So sometimes when, you know, it's starting to warm up, you get, you know, you've been cramped up in the house all winter with one boo. You know, it's booed up and locked up. Then it's time to get out and put on your spring, summer clothes and find a new boo. So that's what maybe this is all about. So yeah.
All right.
So that's pretty much it for what's cooking for me.
Interesting. Well, I hope whatever happening between the two of them gets resolved peacefully. Looks like they just need to stay away from each other.
Yeah, well, you know, I think if you haven't really grown, then you find another toxic person to carry out the same nonsense. So, in case we've have not ran over yet, it was a story that I saw about the sexiest bald men in maybe the world. The reigning king is Prince is Prince William. Sexiest man, according to the internet survey. But there seems to be plenty of debating out there around those statistics. England's Duke of Cambridge name came up along with the keyword sexy in Google searches for articles for more than 17.6 million times. So, Courtney, do you agree with these
analytics? No, and I saw like some of the comments were like, how, when Shamar Moore exists, I didn't know he had cut his hair, but you know, like, yeah. For real, how?
So boxer Mike Tyson came in second.
Okay, I can see that.
Jason Statham, you know who that is? He was in the Fast and Furious. He's been in a few of them. He came in third. Rapper Pitbull came in fourth.
Okay, that's cute.
And Michael Jordan came in fifth.
I'm sorry. Every time I think of Michael Jordan, I think of the crying meme. That's all I can think of these days. Crazy.
Yeah, you know, but The Rock wasn't included in that, you know.
What? Dwayne Johnson? I love him.
You know, and Vin Diesel.
That's what I was just thinking of when you said Fast and Furious. I'm like, Vin Diesel, did he grow his hair back or something?
No, he wasn't in the top five. People were saying the guy that was in The Devil Wears Prada, the guy who played the assistant they were saying that why wasn't he a part of it? Mm-hmm. So it was some people who was really upset about this.
I think they deserve to be, because I don't understand that at all. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I can give you some names of some guys that I thought could be in that top five, and I don't really think it was any of these guys that were. But I think it was maybe with the size of their bank accounts was a big factor to all of this, you know. But it was kind of shocking to me, because it's like we're all questioning about who was this person who asked what would be the shade of the color of the baby Archer of Harry and Meghan's son. And we were trying to figure was it Prince, who will be the king after the Prince Charles, or was it Prince William? And people kind of felt like, because Harry and Prince William are so close in age, that maybe that he was the one to make ask these questions. Mm. So it's sort of like, what was the period between, not to make it all about race, but it's all about race, but to see, like, you know, to me it's like, wow, you know, was this after the Meghan and Harry interview, you know, because he'd like be the last person I want to even call sexy after that, those questions being asked. So
yeah.
And then I thought, is this the firm coming in and trying to fix things up?
Is what the case is. That is the doing of the firm.
To get the conversation off of, you know, these questions. So, wow. The firm busy again doing his job, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's probably what that was.
So that's the what's still cooking for me on my mind. And
so let's move into our first section, our first segment. And we just celebrated Transgender Visibility Day last week. And yet, the week before, the governor of Arkansas signed into law legislation that allows doctors to refuse to treat someone because of religious or moral objections.
Mm.
Additionally, Arkansas and Mississippi governors signed a bill that bans trans athletes from school sports. And Tennessee's governor signed a bill that requires students to prove their sex at birth in order to play in middle and high school sports. And there are 25 plus states that are considering similar legislation that poses a threat to transgender rights. So in the year 2021, here we are.
Mm.
That's
just sad.
Yeah, I think it's more than saddening. It's maddening, you know. These legislations are an attempt at discrimination, pretty much. Especially with the first one. Well, I mean, both of them are. But when it comes to the medical one, this is an age-old question. Mm-hmm. We talk about this a lot when it comes to reproductive rights, especially mm-hmm. like around birth control or abortions. Mm-hmm. Is when you sign up to be a healthcare professional, when you sign up to be a doctor or a nurse or a therapist, I believe you're supposed to take a vow to do no harm, correct?
To do no harm, exactly.
Right. So
the Hippocratic Oath.
Right. So how do you then get to turn someone away who needs help? I don't understand how those two come together.
Where's the compassion, right?
Right. Where's the compassion? And then who are you to place your judgment on someone else? You signed up to do a job. You get to do the job.
Right. You know, I totally agree with you are a doctor. You're supposed to help anyone. But, you know, we're in a time now that if you don't have the right insurance, they're not going to help you. You know what I mean? So it's really sad. But what do they have to lose to provide them that? So I think we had a conversation and previously to this, and one of the things that we covered in that meeting that stuck with me in that conversation was, you know, when we start thinking about rights and start thinking about, you know, what's appropriate in this time period, in this climate that we have, and people's different perspectives, it gets foggy, you know?
What do you mean?
Foggy meaning that a doctor, and if these laws that could be possibly passed that will stop a person from helping someone or tending to someone who needs medical help, because there's a law that says they don't have to. And that may be seen correct and right in the person's eyes as the doctor who doesn't want to help. And it also could be, on the other hand, it could be someone who feels as though, I don't want this transgender person or gay person, I don't want them to interact with my child, or I don't want them to compete with my child, or I don't want them to use my bathroom. So it's we all sort of have our limitations when we're introduced to these new ideas and concepts.
I guess I'm still not following you.
Okay, so what is that they're losing? Is it the doctors losing something? Well, I'm assuming with the question here that we were discussing why we came to this question is what do they have to lose? What does the doctor have to lose in order to help them, provide for them, treat them? What do they have to lose? You know, and
apparently it's their moral conscience, but to mm-hmm. me that seems to go against what morality is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if someone is coming to you for treatment, that means that they have a need. so you serve them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so to not serve them, I think you lose more. You lose the opportunity to be of service to another human being.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that. There's a piece of humanity that you're not addressing when you deny somebody services, or especially health services, when you see the person's in need, you know. So I see, you know, but this happens every day. I mean, people, you can go into a hospital and not have the correct insurance, and the doctor doesn't want to help you, or the nurses don't want to help you. So this, that piece happens every single day.
Well, I think the thing that's unique about this is that there's a targeted attack against transgender rights right now. It's not just about insurance. It's not just about anyone. Transgender people are experiencing discrimination on a legal level in a way that this country has never seen. So if we even talk about the transgender sports things that are happening now. So, you know, before last week, Idaho was the only place that had passed something. And even there, it had been challenged. So Idaho passed their Fairness in Women's Sports Act, but the idea was challenged by a case stating that it violates the 14th Amendment. And a federal judge granted a motion preventing the law from being enforced. And so what seems to be happening right now is that right-wing conservatives think that because there are three Trump-appointed justices, that this is the time to make a move to get case law to the Supreme Court. However, Justice Neil Gorsuch was the one that wrote the majority opinion in 2020 in a case that determined that protections against sex discrimination included sexual orientation and gender identity. And so President Biden issued an executive order for federal agencies to apply that ruling to mm-hmm. other laws that prohibit sex discrimination. So right now, the issue and the reason why I wanted to talk about this in this segment is the fact that transgender rights are being challenged right now in particular. So it's not about insurance. It's not about those types of things, because I still think they'll treat you. You'll just have the bill, or you might have to do. But this is across the country, we're seeing this movement to attack and take back the rights for transgender people.
So how do we protect trans children and girls and women?
Well, one, we can't let these things go forward. Like, we need to be aware, we need to pay attention. So one of the arguments that proponents for these legislations are saying is that, so the governor of Mississippi,
okay,
said that the law would, in quotes, protect young girls from being forced to compete with biological males for athletic opportunities, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the science says that that's not true. And actually, what these laws do is put more risk for girls, especially like middle and high school, because how having to prove your gender at birth, it brings up this opportunity for everyone to be violated, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because who gets to decide who has to prove, right? What mm-hmm. they're going to do is they're going to say, oh, you don't look very feminine. You need to prove that you were assigned female at birth.
Right.
But they can just do that to anyone based mm-hmm. on whatever standard. And so that's not protecting girls at all. And then the whole myth of the biological advantage. A pediatrician and geneticist, Dr. Eric Villain, has okay. studied sex differences in athletes and says that there are no good faith reasons to limit transgender women's participation in sports, especially at the high school level. And the fact is that even legislators, when they're bringing these laws, they don't have any instances of when that has ever happened. Trans athletes aren't winning everything, and only some sports are going to benefit from better performance due to testosterone. And in others, it might even cause a handicap. I saw something about, like, there was some cisgendered female athlete that brought a case. I think it was a track. She was a track athlete, and she mm-hmm. brought a case against a transgender athlete, thinking, but in I don't think it progressed, but in the next race, she won. She won. Mm-hmm. She beat the athlete that she thought was going to be her competition. And then that athlete, the transgender girl, came in 15th. You know? Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. like, that's a myth that mm-hmm. that proponents with that argument are pushing, but there's no evidence to support it. So the thing mm-hmm. is, it's like, if we allow these things to continue, if we allow mm-hmm. this legislation to move forward, that's going to continue to discriminate against transgender athletes, transgender individuals, it's going to trickle over and it's going to impact everyone. Because where is the line drawn?
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I would love to have a transgender or a couple of transgender people on the show to get their perspectives on that, you know, to see what their thoughts are. That would be awesome.
Yeah, well, it's really important that we pay attention because these laws are going to have a major impact, especially because a lot of them are targeting youth. Right, it's targeting with the medical laws. It's trying to prevent trans youth from taking puberty blockers, which is going to impact their transitioning, and their it's trying to prevent them to get access to have the gender affirmation health treatment that they need. And that population is very vulnerable, you know. So, mm-hmm. like, not only is it it's trying to prevent the medical access, it's trying to prevent the mental health care when they're very vulnerable. Like a Trevor report from 2020 cited that 21% of trans and non-binary youth have attempted suicide.
Wow.
And then it also found that that number drops in half when the trans youth had their pronouns respected and access to gender affirming clothing. Right. So mm-hmm. that little intervention mm-hmm. cuts in half the risk of suicide. And then another study showed that trans youth saw a reduction in behavioral and emotional problems after 2 years of puberty suppression. So we know that when given access to the care that is needed to fully be themselves, they thrive. So mm-hmm. why in the world would we create barriers for that? Why are we doing that? It's life-saving. So I don't understand how there's any form of protection that's done by pushing this type of legislation or that type of rhetoric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's your breakdown?
My breakdown is, I think this is a time that everyone needs to stand up. If you've never been an advocate, this is the time. Because mm-hmm. within the LGBTQIA+ movement, mm-hmm. the transgender population has sometimes been on the outside. And right now, the attack is centered on them. And so we need to stand up and speak out and make sure that these laws, so what these laws are doing, and we've talked about this in another episode, what they're doing is they're setting up an opportunity to get to the Supreme Court. And we need mm-hmm. to make sure that that doesn't happen, because the things that happen there have an impact on us that can last for generations. And our trans siblings need our support, and we need them. And they deserve to be able to live full lives. So we need to do what we need to do. So we need to be engaged and act and advocate with our lawmakers to make sure that these things don't go through. We educate ourselves so we can determine when something is true or false, and then push back. What's your breakdown?
So, I mean, I agree with everything that you're saying. I mean, anytime that you take laws away from people and you try to push people on the outskirts where they can't get help, it's just a bad thing. But we just need to change the consciousness of just society as a whole. The transgender people that I've known, even before all this transgender talk was going on, what they really wanted above all was just to walk down the street without somebody beating them up. That's the number thing, the one thing they want, just to get down the street on the bus to their job, if they could get a job, and get home without someone, without having to fight I knew transgender people who have butcher knives in their pocketbooks, you know, because they was waiting for a fight because they knew it was just too difficult just to get down the street. So, so it's a complicated thing.
Let's shift the energy and go into the Make You Laugh segment. And I found quite a few things this week about animals that, you know, they're just out here doing their thing. The first thing, I don't know if everyone has seen the video yet of the mama bear who struggles to get her cubs across the road in Connecticut. Traffic was stopped as a mother bear found herself struggling to get four cubs across the street. As she would carry one across the street, one would come behind her, another would run right back across the street, one tried to run up a pole. It was all caught on camera. It's almost about like 2 to 3 minutes long because the moment you think she's got them all across, another one goes back. Mothers across the nation have been relating with this mama bear. There's a comedian that actually provided narration for the mother bear. It's kind of funny. I'll post that link in the show notes. Another thing is one of the first dogs pooped in the White House. So yeah, one of saw the first this story. Dogs dropped a package outside of the diplomatic reception room just off of the South Lawn. It's unclear if it was Major or Champ. And apparently, that's not the first dog to have done that. Obama's dog, Sonny, also liked to sneak off and poop in the White House. But we know those carpets have probably seen worse. And then finally, in Alaska, Costco shoppers have been robbed by birds.
Wow.
Some Costco shoppers in Alaska have had their groceries stolen by ravens. One customer was packing his groceries in the car, and a raven swooped in to steal a short rib from his cart. Says he was like 10 steps away and turned around, and two ravens came down and instantly grabbed one out of the package and flew off with it. He says they knew what they were doing. And then since that was shared, other shoppers have shared similar instances where ravens are attacking them in the parking lot to try to get their food. So
wow.
Be careful because the animals are...
The ravens are out there.
They're being animals. Yeah.
So this is our second, third segment. Second long-term segment. So I saw an article, I saw a video a few days ago. So Little Nas X has released another video. He released it, I think it said March 26 or so. He released this video called Montero Call Me By Your Name. And the name of this song actually has been pulled from a movie that was a gay coming of age romantic drama called Call Me By Your Name. So I think he just sort of took that name and incorporated it. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the video? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the video is sleek, it's sexy. And I like it overall. Yeah. It opens with him singing and strumming a pink guitar under a tree until a rather large snake comes and startles him. So then he drops the guitar, he makes a dash for it. But I did notice about his hair. So he has like this Birth of Venus. If you've seen that painting, he has this kind of wig on and he has like this this skin tight shimmering onesie that he's wearing under this tree. A lot of symbolism is in this video. So it's smartly done. A lot of thought that's been placed into it. So the snake morphs into an alien looking man that has these long nails. I think the snake is him too. But it caresses his face, kisses him, licks him. And the next shot, it's three different men, and they're all little Nas X, and they all have this Marie Antoinette inspired wigs on. One of them is pink and one is blue. So ultimately, he seductively descends down to the depths of the earth to hill by way of a stripper pole, casually twerking, wearing nothing but a polka dot box of briefs and high heel thigh high boots to give the devil a lamp dance. So the music ends with Lil Nas X breaking the devil's neck and positioning the devil's horny like crown upon his head.
Right.
So what do you think all this means?
I thought it was an amazing video. I thought it was a really bold, in-your-face F you to all of those people who tell gay people to go to hell. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was really, really clever and very well done.
I got a sneaky suspicion that from this video that Lil Nas X might be gay.
Well, he came out in 2019, so okay. okay, I missed that one.
No, yeah, but you, as you were saying, he came out earlier. I think he came out in a in June 30th, 2019,
yeah.
Last day of Pride Month. Mm-hmm. He tweeted out, some of y'all already know, some of y'all don't care. Some of y'all not gonna frown no more. But before this month ends, I want y'all to listen closely to Closure, which is a song on his first album that talks about him. You know, he doesn't actually come out and say I'm gay, but he just sort of hints on that. So he was just sort of referring you back to that song to let you know that, hey, this is his coming out notice.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he was going to at some point expose that he was gay, but you know how it's all done very strategically sometimes, I think, when I look at artists. And one of the things that I did want to get a little bit into the discussions a little bit about how artists, their approach to becoming to sort of out themselves, you know. But a little bit I wanted to talk about in terms of just what's the difference, the difference between flamboyant and flashy, you know, and we had a little discussion about that earlier. So how would you define flashy versus flamboyant?
I don't know if I use those words, especially mm-hmm. like flamboyant. So why don't mm-hmm. you tell me?
So for me, I would describe Lil Wayne as flashy. You know, we always seen the persona of Lil Wayne. I would call Prince flamboyant, the way that he expresses his art.
What's so, the difference? Why?
Well, the difference is when I look at Prince, who's absolutely amazing. I remember Prince in this MTV performance back in the 90s, and he was performing his song, I think it was Get Off, if I'm not mistaken. And he turned around and had these pants on that had his ass out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And amazing, you know, ass, by the way. But I don't really see, I don't want to see Lil Wayne do that, even though I consider him to be flashy.
So you're saying that Prince is flamboyant because he appeals more to the feminine?
No, I'm saying that I don't know about appealing, because you don't have to appeal to anyone to be flamboyant. Flamboyant means that it's over the top.
Well, then how come Lil Wayne isn't flamboyant?
Because by definition is also this. So what I consider flashy would be it remains within the boundaries of that person's sexuality. When I would say flamboyant, it extends outside those boundaries.
To me, so, it sounds like you've got an issue with gender nonconformity.
Okay, so I don't think, I definitely don't, but defining something doesn't mean that you have a problem with it. That doesn't, you see what I'm saying? That doesn't.
Okay, and, but why is there a need to label it?
Well, it's always been labeled. But
it's not only are you labeling it, but you're like distinguishing the two, and I'm curious about why that is.
I'm glad that you're curious about it. But as I've studied, you know, art, and I've studied Louis the 14th, and I've studied these different people who come along who were considered to be flamboyant, this is nothing new. You know, when someone steps outside of the frame of what is considered to be masculine, it doesn't even mean that, because Louis the 14th wasn't even gay. Mm-hmm. So isn't so someone saying someone's flamboyant or over the top doesn't imply anything negative.
Okay, so where were you going with the definitions? Why is it important to name
the reason why I'm pointing this out was mm-hmm. because it's important to me between what is flashy and flamboyant, because one of the things that I noticed about the marketing of not Little Nas X is when he first came out, it was more flashy, and now it's gone more to flamboyant. So, so the question is, I asked myself, maybe even you, why is that? And why does that happen sometimes when we see the marketing of stars?
I would say, again, my question is, why is that a question?
Because it's a conversation.
Well, I don't know why it's a question. I feel like if someone wants to present themselves as they present themselves, that's how they present themselves. And I don't think it's on me to have an expectation on how someone's gender expression is displayed.
It's not about gender.
You know, after Lil Nas X video, Montero, Call Me By Your mm-hmm. Name, was posted, he tweeted, "Dear 14-year-old Montero, I wrote a song with our name in it. It's about a guy I met last summer. I know we promised to never come out publicly. I know we promised to never be that type of gay person. I know we promised to die with the secret, but this will open doors for many other queer people to simply exist. You see, this is very scary for me. People will be angry. They will say I'm pushing an agenda. But the truth is I am. The agenda to make people stay the F out of other people's lives and stop dictating who they should be." So when you are saying, I'm wondering why, you know, he's being flamboyant instead of flashy, to me that's
no,
saying
that there's, say
that there's,
no.
Well, you're saying, you just said
no,
you're curious,
I didn't say
about
why, I was
why
wondering
he went
why
from flashy,
when he went
to
flashy
flamboyant.
To flamboyant. What I'm
you're,
saying,
you just said, you're no, curious you, about why that happened.
No, I'm saying not what I said was, to be specific, okay, that why do artists, when they first come out, they position, I don't know about his personal life or how he dressed. Well, actually I do, because I've seen certain things, but what I'm saying is in general, but why do artists, when they first come out, they present themselves one way, and then as they begin to evolve and out themselves, they present themselves differently, more, I would say more flamboyant?
I don't necessarily think that's a safe generalization. And I think it makes sense that as someone evolves, that they're going to be different and that they may present something different to the world. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The way that you're questioning it, to me, mm-hmm. it sounds like you're placing a judgment around it.
No. And to me, I don't know why you would feel that way, because it's not a judgment. It's just having a conversation about, don't you know these differences? Don't you see the difference? Don't you feel the differences? You know, but I get it, though.
I'm guessing, like, but why is it important?
It's important because it's noticeable. Why not discuss something that you're noticing? You're noticing that there's a difference. Okay, I want to discuss that.
Okay.
You know, well, so I really like the video all in all. I think it's a really good video. It's a big departure from his first video. So, and at the end of the day, I feel nothing's wrong with being flamboyant nor being flashy, but I've noticed the difference between Lil Nas X appearance in the 2018 music video Old Town Road featuring Billy Ray Cyrus versus his latest music video.
Do you think that there's a difference between Montero and whatever the holiday one was? I think it's called Holiday. Because that was very futuristic. It was imaginative. It was all of those things. Is there a difference?
But he already came. That was after he had publicly came out.
So I still don't understand what you're noticing. Like, what does that have to do with anything? I thought
it has a lot to do with it. Okay, go ahead.
So what's your point? Because I'm still missing it.
The point that I'm making is that sometimes I think the marketing that companies put out there, the mass marketing companies put out there, is to market to a more gay audience because they feel as though a country audience isn't going to buy that. They may buy, you know, Old Town Road when that came out with Billy Ray Cyrus, because nobody didn't really think he was gay at that time. But now that it's out there and he's out, he's put it out there that they want to extend his image in marketing to a prominently gay audience because they feel as though that audience is going to buy that instead of the audience that they originally was marketing to.
So you're saying that you don't believe that Lil Nas X is being genuine when he expresses himself in a gender non-conforming way or a more feminine way because you believe that it is marketing that is doing that.
So you didn't say that. No.
Okay.
Because you're getting the machine and the man confused. The machine is what the machine is going to do. I'm describing the machine. Obviously, when I first saw Lil Nas X, even in the first video, Old Town Road, I went, oh, he's gay. You know, it wasn't a thing for me. And then when he basically came out and tweeted that he was, I went, okay, what's new? But I'm just saying, so the man, that's just a man.
But so you don't think, but what I'm hearing is that you're saying you think that it's marketing that's making the change in the appearance.
Oh yeah, of course.
So that would mean that you don't believe that Lil Nas X.
I don't know what he dressed like before he came out, but you know, I've seen some things. But nevertheless, I'm just saying that you can get wrapped into this, the image and the persona and all these things, which is great. It's great entertainment, but it's entertainment. It's that's what it is. And does
it
work?
I think that's really dangerous, DJ. I think it's dangerous, to call someone's expression entertainment when it's their authentic expression. Like, you don't, you, without having a conversation with Lil Nas X, not having a conversation with his marketing team, not having a conversation with his image consultant and all of that, you have no idea around if it's through his own agency that he wants to present in this way. And so to call it like it's just marketing, like it's a marketing ploy to attract a gay audience, I think that's offensive.
If this was 80s, we'd be having this conversation about Madonna. We would be having this conversation and people would have that same approach that this is her expression. And why would you question it? You know, she's a marketing genius.
But I mean, when you do things like that, you give people permission to question anyone's expression. Oh, you're just doing that for attention.
We should question
people. Why should we question? People have the right to express themselves.
And also, they have the right to express themselves, just like I have the right to ask questions.
The thing about you questioning it, though, is the way that you're questioning Lil Nas's ex expression is you're questioning the validity of it. Like, it's not enough to just be. And like, if we go back to the last segment that we just had about transgender rights, people, transgender people, like you said in your breakdown, they just want to be able to exist and not be questioned. And here you are
not questioning.
Yeah, not be questioned.
That's not what
you
I said.
That they want to walk down, but they want to exist and not then, have to be not, not have to not, be beat
and
up.
I've met people who are transgender who do not mind being questioned at all because they know why they are who they are and they know who they are. So they don't have a problem being questioned about anything. Now, what they want to do is walk down the street without someone attacking them. Those are two separate things.
Depending on the way that someone questions another person, it can be an attack. So it's not necessarily two separate things.
And I have questioned transgenders, and they have educated me very well about what they go through and the experiences that they have. And they are very articulate about their opinions. And it has, and is that a generalization about all thinking the same? Because they do not.
Right. I don't think that anyone's existence deserves to be questioned.
Okay.
I think that people get to exist. Mm-hmm. And if you want to learn more, you can educate yourself. But it's not other people's job to explain why they're worthy to exist.
Who said worthy to exist? This is his art form. It's not about his existence. His existence was before
art comes from his existence.
Okay, all right. I get it. You know, I get it. But I separate a person's persona from who the man is. The two, I mean, yeah, they look the same, you know, a person's persona and a person who they really are. But in my, how I look at art, I don't necessarily see it as necessarily the same. His existence is going to be, if he's famous or not, his art form, his artwork, his marketing, his machine, that's something totally different that I feel not necessarily the same thing. Maybe okay. Some of the same aspect, not the same thing.
I think that it's unfair to make that type of assertion without having the conversation with the person to know that. Art is it can be a very personal thing. And it seems to me, especially by his tweets, that he's very intentional about the way that he expresses himself and uses his art. And it comes from a personal place. So for someone to make assertions and say that they're separate without him ever saying things like that and not knowing that, to me, it seems like it can be seen as an attack, as someone needing to prove who they are. And to me, that's no different. To me, that's no different than, you know, asking a trans woman to prove
gender at birth. As a gay man, I ask these questions, and you know, having other friends who were gay, and they would have interesting things to say as well. Because they don't buy it all either. Like, it's like, I guess as a gay man, when you're speaking to other gay men, they see a lot. They see through the smoke and mirrors. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know if respecting someone and respecting someone's expression is smoke and mirrors, but okay.
So this is our inspiration or inspire segment, and I wanted to talk a little bit about the positive effects on meditating. And I've been meditating for many years, and it's been it's really helped me through some very difficult times. Yep. And I think it's every spiritual person's go-to. You know, it's no book that I ever have read about trying to increase your spiritual life and your spiritual self, and each one will always take you back to meditation.
In some form.
In our quest to inform and inspire and humor you, we arrive to the inspire segment. And just in the expire word, it means to breathe. Just in the word itself. And I love that word inspire, because it means to breathe into or to breathe breath into. And especially during this COVID-19 crisis that the world is experiencing, I think meditation is definitely something that would be very helpful. Mm-hmm. So we're in a time where folks are increasingly worried about many aspects of their life, employment, money, family stress, and above all, health issues. And emotional stress is the major contributing factor of the 6 leading causes of death in the United States. So yeah, and statistics show meditation increases focus, reduce stress, and promote calmness. So where do you begin? So it's really easy to begin. So how often do you meditate?
It varies for me, but I try to at least do something daily, sometimes twice a day, sometimes whenever I feel like I need. I was just sharing with someone today, meditation for me helps me live at the edge of my comfort zone, because I like it allows me to connect to what's greater than me. Mm-hmm. So when I'm like approaching the edge, I know I need to meditate.
Yeah, just setting aside 5 to 15, especially if you're just starting out, setting aside 5 to 15 minutes where you won't be disturbed. Find a comfortable place to sit where your back will be straight, or you can be laying down and place your hands in your lap, close your eyes, and begin to focus on your breath, because the breath is very, very important. And sometimes when you begin to notice your mind wandering, making that sort of your frame of reference, your breath is very helpful. And just noticing the rise and the fall of your diaphragm in your chest, And anytime you find that your thoughts are beginning to race, and they're going to race,
absolutely,
as you do this exercise, but just focus on that inhalation and exhalation of your breath. Yep. It's very helpful if you do that. And you may want to set a timer as you continue to extend your meditation periods, and as you begin to meditate more. And so I actually created a 5-minute meditation, and we'll place the link in the description where you can go and possibly a link maybe to where you can get an audio version of it. I just thought of that. So that help you get started, just 5 minutes a day. And if you do it for like maybe 5 or 7 days, you will already notice a difference in your mood and your stress level, how it just shifts. And so I invite you to do that, to take a little moment out of your day, just 5 minutes, to pull yourself away and to just listen to this wonderful music and wonderful images. You know, usually you have your eyes closed, but if you want to have them open, you have these wonderful images to look at. And I will walk you through a few minutes of that meditation to help you calm and get some of the stress out your life.
That's great, DJ. All right. Well, we made it to the end of episode 7. Yay! We are almost halfway through season 1.
Yeah. Loving it.
So thank you guys so much for listening. We hope that the episodes are informing, inspiring, and make you laugh.
Definitely making you laugh.
And again, as always, you can reach us on socials. We are on Instagram at Breaking It Down Show. Facebook, Breaking It Down Podcast. And how can they email us, DJ?
You can email us at breakingitdownshow@gmail.com. Again, that's breakingitdownshow@gmail.com.
If you need ideas of what to send us, you know, let us know your thoughts. Do you agree with us? Do you have any, do you wish we would have said anything? Do you have any stories that you want us to discuss? You know, let us know what you thought.
Or just say, good job, guys.
Well, only if you mean it.
Yeah, well, if you don't mean it, then, you know, say something, you know. But I would definitely appreciate reading you, and I'll definitely respond back to you and let you know that I read your comment. And I even may give a shout-out to you. Actually, you know what I wanted to do if we have time? Can I shout-out a few people who've already done that to us, who've already, I wrote their names down. I forgot to mention it to you earlier, but I wrote some names down. People who've actually hollered at us. Janice Lloyd. Hey, Mom. How you doing? Thank you for hollering. Beulah Perry Presley. Judy Manning and Manning. James L. Watkins. Beverly Sanders Biddle. And Sheila Bobbitt have all gave us hollers on Facebook. So thank you, guys. I really appreciate that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, we'll definitely do that in the future if you... If you reach out to us or if you interact, you will hear your name on the show.
Yeah, we'll just call you out. So, you know, to even a comment on Facebook. You know, I got some likes, but I really wanted to call the people out who actually love comments on our page. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. See you guys.
Well, we'll see you next week.
Bye. Thank you for listening.
Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review.